Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, that is us. Let's go. Good evening, everyone, as we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. It's all brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more in car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Aaron Torres, Arnie Spanier, in for the guys, Jason Smith, and his best friend, Mike Harmon, on a great sports talk Friday night. How you doing tonight, Torres?
Arnie, just want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
You've gotten to the best part of your day where you get to hang out with me for 4 hours, so
wow.
I'm excited for you.
That's my Wildcats won today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. 1-0. We look like crap. I just want you to know
they
that.
They stink.
The good news is you get Pac-12 Network. Nobody else does, so you're good.
So. I know. Yeah, it's so funny. Nobody. I get it all the way out here in Vermont. You guys don't even get it in Los Angeles.
I literally Googled to see if I get Pac-12 Network, and I searched, and I found it, and sure enough, did not get Pac-12 Network.
Of course not. By the way, do any shopping today, Black Friday? Did you go out, order online, do buy anything for your wife, or are you just being cheap this year?
No, I did not buy anything.
I guess
anything.
That means I'm being cheap this year is what you're saying, huh?
I'm not going to be cheap just because I didn't shop on Black Friday. Doesn't mean that I'm being cheap. I don't think, anyway.
Well, that's when all the deals are out there. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, if anybody knows any great deals we should be buying for, not for a significant other, just for ourselves, let us know. You know what I mean? I'm always looking to buy myself something. like Costco, they sell like NBA Jam. You've played NBA Jam before, haven't you?
Of course, yeah. Game?
Yeah, they sell those things now. I'm like, I got to buy myself one of those. I like that.
Did you get it?
No, not yet.
Why not?
Well, you know, maybe I will. Maybe I will, for crying out loud. By the way, when we're on tomorrow, Tyson Roy Jones Jr. Fight, I heard Rob Parker and Martin talking about, don't buy it, don't buy it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about that. Am I the only person in America excited about this or what?
Oh, I'm excited about it. And I did a few months back, but when we thought it was going to be in September, I actually interviewed Jake Paul and Nate Robinson, who are on the undercard.
Yeah,
so that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
I know. I'm the man. I agree. You know,
I was supposed to be in a boxing match like that.
What happened?
Being serious, I had done a simulcast when I was working in Phoenix with Danny Bonaducci. Remember Danny Bonaducci?
Oh, my God. This is like an 80s Mad Libs. I was in Vegas with Danny Bonaducci
no.
Scott Baio and the cast of Baywatch.
I was in Phoenix. He was doing the show in Chicago, I believe. And we did a simulcast where we could do the show together. He was great. I mean, he was funny as hell. He was looking to fight somebody, and I said, can I please do it? You'd probably crush me, but I'd love to do it. And he goes, you know, no offense. We pretty much picked Donnie Osmond to do it, to get a draw. You don't have a name or anything like that. But how great would that have been if I would have gotten in the ring with Danny Bonaducci, huh?
I would have any opportunity.
You would have paid $100 for that.
I was going to say, any opportunity where I get to see somebody punch you in the face sounds phenomenal. Now, I would do it for free,
yeah.
But if Danny Bonaducci was going to get a check or if it was for charity, whatever. But, that's kind of cool.
And I heard, don't buy it. They're so old. I'll tell you, if Michael Jordan told me or told the world that he was coming out of retirement and that he was playing tomorrow, suiting up for the Chicago Bulls, I'm calling in sick. I've got the TV on, and I'm watching Michael Jordan.
Great point, right?
Would you not? With ratings, it'd be the highest rated, I was going to say regular season game. It might be the highest rated NBA game, including playoffs, if he came back. If he announced he was coming back tomorrow and there were games, it might be the highest rated game ever, you know?
That is a great point. Like we're crushing Mike Tyson here. First of all, I heard an interview with him with Joe Rogan where he talked a lot about it, and he's like, Why can't I? What, like yeah. I'm 50. I'm allowed to do what I want.
Exactly.
And so there's that. But it's a great point. Like if Michael Jordan came out of retirement, if the New York Yankees signed Barry Bonds, I'm signing up for the first pitch. I'm tuning into Yes Network.
Could you imagine if even on a sport that's not as popular, if Wayne Gretzky was saying I'm lacing it up tomorrow. We'd be like, I got to watch the game. I got to see. So I don't know why they're making a stink that they don't want to see Tyson. I think it's going to be phenomenal. I'm loving this. I can't wait for this. You know,
is this one of those? Is this one of those like everyone's on Twitter is claiming they don't want to watch, but they're going to watch?
Yeah, but they'll buy it anyway. Right?
Yeah, you know, exactly. I'm so sick of these social media hacks. Not you and I, thankfully. We're classy and represent the company well. But everybody on Twitter and social media is so negative. Ah, who would do that? Why would you do that? I don't want to do that. Why can't we just have fun and watch two old guys beat their brains in, you know?
I'm trying to think who else would I'd want to, you know, if they said they were coming back and they were going to go ahead and play a game, who would I want to go ahead and do? Who would I want to go ahead and watch that would still have my attention out there, you know?
In boxing or just in sports?
In any sport out
Ooh,
there.
It's a great one.
Well, you got Michael. You know, obviously you got Wayne Gretzky. You know, how many big names out there would you say, I've got to watch him, man. I got to see him come out of retirement.
So it sucks because Wayne Gretzky's the one that I am just, I don't want to make you feel old, but he was just a little bit out of his prime, right? So I never saw like peak Gretzky. I saw peak Jordan. I saw relative peak Tyson. I obviously saw peak Tiger, peak Federer.
Oh. We watch Tiger now. You know, you bring up Tiger. We watch Tiger. If he was like in the running for the last day at the Masters, we'd be tuning in like crazy. Ratings would go through the roof if Tiger was in it.
Oh, it was like the highest rated Masters ever a few years ago when he was in the final.
Right. So we want to see our stars no matter how old, how good, how bad. I think there's a lot of interest in watching Tyson. By the way, I'm curious, Aaron, you could reach us at Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. How many people are buying it? And just for a little fun tonight, we usually don't do poll questions, but any other athlete you would run to the TV to watch or pay to watch, and Michael Jordan certainly would be right up that list. I can only imagine how many people would want to watch him. You know, that'd be great.
Who's this?
Michael Jordan.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah, no. Michael Jordan would have to be number one. Listen, I think Mike Tyson might actually be number one, to be honest. And like people, like I said, are on social media, I would never pay to watch that. You're either going to pay to watch that or stream it, or you'll find a feed that's going to give your computer a virus. You're going to be watching tomorrow night. Get on your high horse. It's the end of 2020. We've all had a long year. Just go watch Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. fight. It's not a big deal.
Exactly. We should be on the air when that's on. So we'll be talking about that, I'm sure. You want to jump in?
I'll tell you
in?
What. How about this?
Yeah.
I'll take Mike Tyson. You take Roy Jones. And the winner, the person who had that guy gets to punch the other one in the face. How does that
sound? Oh, I'd love to. I'm pulling for Tyson, though. You know that?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I get Tyson. You get Roy Jones.
I don't know what the odds are. I got to look up like what the odds are. I assume Roy Jones Jr. is the favorite, right? I'm guessing.
So I feel like when all this came out, I feel like Bernie gave us some odds and Roy Jones was the favorite. And I was like legitimately surprised by that. So I think you're right on that. I'm not positive.
Yeah. I want Tyson to win. I don't know why, but I want to see him win. I want to see him kick his butt. I want to see some action out there, you know? I wonder if Tyson can still take a punch.
Oh, I'm sure he can. I'm sure he can deliver a punch, too. You see those videos that he's been putting out?
Dude, he's 50-something. I know, maybe you could still throw a punch, but taking a punch is a whole nother story, you know?
Absolutely. Who would be your number one? Would it be Jordan? Who would be your number two? If Jordan's number one, take Tyson off the table. Like, who is the guy that if they came out of retirement, they did the Gordie Howe come out of retirement for one game deal, who would you want to watch?
Who would I want to watch? You know, well, you can't really do football. You know, it's like Joe Montana's not coming out. He's too old to play the game. So you really can't get somebody who's like in their 50s to come out of retirement and play in the NFL. They would get clobbered. So it would have to be basketball. I don't know. I guess Jordan, obviously, besides him, you know, you'd want to see some of the all-time greats, you know, some of the Hall of Famers out there. But really, they don't have that star appeal. You know, a Charles Barkley, He's too old for crying out loud.
Shaq, he's too slow.
You know, Shaq, forget about it. You know, obviously Kobe passed away. Magic, you know, how much game does that guy really have? I only get the feel that Michael still got game out of anybody, you know?
I think, you know, and it's so cliche, right? Because we just watched the documentary. Oh, he's the most competitive ever. But I really think that he is. And I really just think that even if he physically couldn't compete, he would just bully and elbow and do what he had to do to get a couple buckets and keep himself on the court.
So. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, we will be on the air. Again, you want to get in Aaron _ Torres. I'm at Stick and Genius One. Pete Futek going to join us, in about 10 minutes from now, obviously, from college football news. Got a lot of college football to get to. We'll talk about Baltimore-Pittsburgh. Obviously, what happened there. Texas takes a loss today. Matter of fact, just some of the games, anything really caught your eye? Anything was like Notre Dame wins by a couple of touchdowns? I thought that game was actually going to be a little bit more high scoring. So especially after the first one, it was 14-14, and the defense pretty much locked it in. I enjoyed the game, but I was expecting a lot more after the first quarter. Didn't get that, you know?
So this was my thought coming out of that game, Arnie, is I have been watching college football since about 93, 94. Now, Notre Dame won a championship in 88. I don't remember that. I was just a little bitty Torres, watching sports in the crib or whatever. But I was a little bit older, too old for a crib. But you get the point. And I think this is the first time in my life that there is a Notre Dame team that I believe can win a national championship. And let me preface that. I know they've played for national championships, but if you watch those games, they weren't competitive. They were not the same caliber of team. I've seen this team against Clemson.
You know, they've had a quarterback named Joe Montana, but forget about that.
Oh,
so
I was born in 79 when he was – I said in my life since I started watching college
football. I forgot you're
10
years old. My bad. I'm sorry about that.
I'm a young, handsome 35. But I think this is the first time in my life there's a team that can win a national championship because there have been teams that have been good enough to get there, but then they get pounded. I think with the way Clemson's playing defense right now, we already saw Notre Dame beat them. With the way Ohio State's playing defense right now, maybe it would make Alabama a favorite, but I don't think Notre Dame's far behind anybody this year.
Notre Dame certainly has a chance, and of course, like you said, they beat Clemson. I don't think they could beat Alabama. I don't think they could beat Ohio State. Matter of fact, if there's a rematch against Clemson, I don't think they'll beat them a second time. That's so hard to do, and obviously Trevor Lawrence comes back, though his replacement did a phenomenal job in that game. He was not the reason why they lost. I like Book, but I do have questions if he can go ahead and put up enough numbers if a game's going to be a shootout. He certainly had the numbers today. I like Notre Dame. I don't think they could win the championship, though. I obviously they're the fourth team in the other four behind the other three.
Why don't you think they can win a championship? They already beat Clemson, and to your point, it wasn't as though it was because Trevor Lawrence wasn't there and the backup was terrible. Ohio State clearly has problems defensively. They gave up 45 points last week. So I think Alabama's the only one that I would sit here and say, I think Alabama is clearly a superior team to Notre Dame. And you know how this four-team playoff works. Maybe Notre Dame doesn't have to play them. Maybe they catch them on the right night. I just think if they get to the playoff, and I think they will, if they can just beat the last two lousy teams on their schedule, which is Wake Forest and Syracuse, they're going to get to this playoff. Because even if they lose to Clemson, I think they get in. But no, I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't see anybody on the schedule that they would really, really struggle to beat.
Since Pete Futek is coming up, I'll ask you real quick, with Nick Saban not being on the sideline, any chance whatsoever Auburn beats Alabama tomorrow?
I don't see it only because we could ask Pete about it, but Auburn's dealing with a lot of injuries. They're going on the road for the first time in like 5 weeks, and they've been terrible on the road this year. I have my doubts. Maybe you feel differently. Maybe Pete feels differently.
Yeah, no, I don't feel differently. No. Don't put that in my mouth. Auburn's going to get a butt kick, and that's what's going to happen there.
You sound like Ryan Fowler. Oh, my goodness. We've been hanging out with Ryan Fowler too much.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get to our guest joining us now. You can check him out at John Middlecoff on Twitter, host of the Three and Out podcast, former NFL scout. John, I was saying, I thought that this Baltimore-Pittsburgh game was going to be moved to like a week 18. That way we have eight teams in each conference, and Pittsburgh-Baltimore would have been a first-round matchup. How great would that have been, you know?
I like where your head's at, Arnie. I was thinking that too, but clearly the NFL was not. You never know what the league's going to do. I still am a little confused with what's going on. I guess games on Tuesday.
Yeah.
What about the other games? It's what a crazy year we're in.
John, what did you make of, or what are you hearing about kind of some of the commentary from the Steelers when this game was ultimately originally pushed back to Sunday and then, of course, now later in the week? I kind of see both sides, and I kind of see why they're frustrated. It is also an unprecedented situation. Where do you stand on the Steelers being frustrated that a second straight pseudo bye week, second straight Sunday that they would have had off has been taken from them?
Yeah, I mean, I think what they were the most upset at when the game got moved from Thursday to Sunday is they were licking their lips. I mean, the Ravens were in shambles. They were going to give them a knockout punch. I mean, it's their rival. Short week feeds into them, right? They're undefeated. Lamar Jackson is having a major regression year off what he was last year as an MVP. And I think they were just so ready to go, you know. And then it gets pushed back, and then there's just so much unknown. You know, when you're ready, I think in any walk of life, when you're ready to do something and you're confident and you know whatever that job you have to do, you're going to get it done. And then someone kind of pulls the plug. You know, it's human nature to get a little worked up. Even, you know, in this year where it's understandable, like all these guys are got COVID and everything. But, you know, it's not the first time Pittsburgh's gone through it. So maybe they're just a little, you know, I don't want to use the word numb, but you just kind of get used to it, and you just want to plow through it.
John, you mentioned Lamar Jackson. Which is the real Lamar Jackson, last year's MVP or what we're seeing this year? And the answer is, I'll tell you, who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray? And I know I'd rather have Murray. So we really know that this year's Lamar Jackson is probably the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, without hesitation, you take Kyler Murray. I think this year, you know, maybe he's not as bad as he's been this year. But he's not as good as he was last year.
No.
You know, and that offense just in general, I mean, it was just a historic year. It was a great season. But we saw in the playoffs when he has to throw, he can't do it consistently to win. And that's what Kyler, for example, can do. You know, you're watching him. He makes plays with his legs. Like, there's nothing wrong with making plays with your legs.
No.
But can you win to pass? And Kyler, you know, he can win with his arm. And Lamar is just so hit or miss. You know, and basically their offense is, right, because they get so dependent on the run. But I 100% would take Kyler Murray over Lamar Jackson without hesitation.
So you just brought me to my next question, John. You said you have to pass to win with your arm. Are you concerned at all about what you saw on Monday night from Tom Brady, or is that just the nature of playing 16 games out of 17 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it was weird to see, right? I mean, it's like seeing Tiger Woods get a 10 on a hole. It doesn't look normal. You know, he's throwing it to the other team. It's not just throwing interceptions, right? It was like the interceptions to guys where no one was even around them. It's like I've never seen Tom Brady do that. I think the problem is their offense and what they're asking Tom to do, and what Tom's asking himself to do is not what he really does. You know, he I don't want to say dink and dunks you to death, but he eats you alive with quick passes. His running backs catch the ball, and then they take deep shots off that. But he doesn't just throw bomb after bomb after bomb, and clearly he wasn't. I mean, his deep balls weren't even close. He was throwing balls out of bounds. He threw the one ball at the end of the game, obviously, right to the guy, and then the earlier pick where I think Godwin was running a post. I mean, he wasn't even in 10 yards of it. It was. I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, so it was bizarre to see. I don't really like to see that. Like, if that's what it's going to become, I don't want to see it. But I think he's too smart, and Arians, you know, is going to have to not be stubborn. They're going to have to meet in the middle. And the problem, though, is they don't have, like, Julian Edelman's, right? They have deep ball receivers. So, you'd want Patrick Mahomes, you'd want to run deep routes with Godwin and Evans and even Antonio Brown. Think about Antonio Brown all those years with Big Ben throwing bombs and just deep, deep breaking routes. When I think Tom, I think Edelman and Welker – and Gronk, you know, and the running backs. So it's kind of the polar opposite of what he's used to doing.
Is this even a big deal? But I'm getting a little tired of Tom Brady's antics, you know, not shaking hands after the game when he loses. I think it's a bad optic. I think it looks bad for him. I never knew that he was such a poor sport about things like that. What do you think, John?
Well, what did Lombardi say? Show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser. You know, I mean, it's like...
Sounds like Arnie.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, You know, Belichick's never been a good loser, and you know what? He's not used to losing. You know, these guys get used to winning for 20 years. You don't. I don't make a big deal of him not shaking hands. To me, you know, especially that game, it was so terrible. I just think we're used to seeing all these quarterbacks shake hands because they lose a lot. You know, most quarterbacks, you know, you go 10-6, you lose six games a year. Tom's been winning, like going like 14-2 and 13-3 for 10 straight years.
Well, last one for me, I'll take it a step further. What do you make of Bruce Arians' antics? I mean, you know, we as fans, we've never been, you know, inside an organization like you. We as fans take it as, you know, you can get ripped kind of behind the scenes. You can get ripped in the film room, but you don't do it publicly as a coach. Do you have a problem with now the second time this season that Bruce Arians has really come hard at Tom Brady?
No, I'm a big fan of people just being who they are.
Sure.
You know, that's a knock always on the guys that come from Belichick. They try to be like Belichick. Just be who you are. And Arians, his entire life is candid, authentic. He was like this in Arizona. He's been like this last year in Tampa. He's like it this year with Tampa, right? So whether he's coaching Carson Palmer, Jameis Winston, or Tom Brady, he's going to act like he acts. So I respect anyone who's consistent with their actions. Like, if Belichick did this, it'd be weird. If Arians didn't do this, it'd be weird. I think it's just who he is. Now, it's weird because it's Tom, but at the end of the day, Tom, this is where I think sometimes in the media and publicly we make too big a deal of this stuff. Like, what is Belichick known for? Ripping everyone behind closed doors. So they're used to getting yelled at. It just because it's public, like, who cares? Like, obviously Tom's throwing picks, and we all could see it. Like, everyone, you know, the 15 million people watching the game all saw it. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal at all.
All right. By the way, you can check him out. Tweet him at John Middlecoff, host of the 3 and Out podcast. John, thanks a lot for staying up with us tonight. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you later on.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the weekend. See you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
John. Take care, John Middlecoff. You got to check out his podcast, host of the 3 and Out podcast.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Couple things we want to start things off with the second half of the show. Illinois, Ohio State. We talked about this a lot today. That game's been canceled. All kind of ramifications on this one. The big thing is, though, Ohio State can't afford to miss another game or have another game get canceled. They need to go ahead and finish out the next two games to play in their Big Ten championship and to make sure they go to the 14 playoff, you know?
It is an insane situation. So, yes, Ohio State is off. And as DeSager updated us a little while ago, there is no reason to really think that there's certainly no guarantee that they'll play next week. And if anything, if I had to take a guess, and this is just speculation on my part, it isn't going to happen, as in they're not going to play next week, in which case they would not be eligible for the Big Ten playoff.
And why are you saying they're not going to play next week?
Well, they've shut down team operations. And so,
which is worrisome, I will say that. Yes.
And with the Big Ten protocol, I mean, the thing is, and I don't, you know, it's, and I apologize to our audience for this, but there's so many different leagues and rules, and I don't know what all the policies are in the NFL as opposed to college football, but the Big Ten, excuse me, has some of the strictest protocols in the country, and so if guys really are testing positive, there's no reason to think that between that and the contact tracing that they are going to be able to have enough bodies to play a week from now. And then, frankly, even if they do have enough bodies, you know, they'd be at a massive disadvantage. So it's a mess. And as I've said since we broke this news on this show at about 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern, it just goes back to the singular decision by the Big Ten in August to cancel the season way before it was necessary.
Let me ask you this, a simple question.
Simple answer.
What if we didn't play college football this year? What if the SEC didn't do it? And everybody else follow. What if there was no college football based on what was happening and what's going on now? What would we be saying if all this was going on and there was no college football?
I think we'd be saying what an awful decision it was, honestly.
No, what?
I mean, the NFL has literally played like 90% of their – I mean, they've played all of their games. I think there have been postponements in like 10 games total.
Wait, time out. After what we just saw with Baltimore, Pittsburgh getting canceled on Thanksgiving. And
so we have to cancel
Sunday,
an entire sport because one game got postponed?
No, but I'm going to say this. After seeing that and other NFL games and what's going on in college basketball.
What's going on in college basketball? We had 100-plus games on Wednesday.
How many cancellations did we have?
Probably 10, 15.
Yeah, well, probably more like 15. I mean,
if Mike, you say we're going to get Mike, 90% of our games in, that's a win in a pandemic.
Well, my point is, I think people would have seen that and said, thank goodness we're not playing college football. It would have been too much. I don't think there would have been a lot of people screaming, wow, we really blew it based on all the new infections we're getting right now. It's through the roof. It's going crazy.
I mean, you know where I stand on this, Arnie. It's a virus. I don't
know. I know where you stand. I'm sure the people want to know where you stand.
And I would love for people to tune in. Tell me I'm an idiot. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm right. I'm not being unsympathetic. I'm not saying that families haven't been impacted. I'm not saying that lives haven't been impacted. What I am saying is that the safest place a person can be is to be a professional or college athlete where you're getting tested multiple times a day or multiple times a week, excuse me, and you are under the supervision of the best medical staff that you can possibly be under. I'm not saying that I want guys to go out on the field if they're sick or they're contagious or they're whatever. I'm not saying that we might not have a case where a player gets really sick. I hope it doesn't happen. But to cancel the whole sport, it's just the dumbest thing, Arnie. It's just, I'm sorry. I'm not calling you dumb. No, because what you're saying is if you cancel the sport. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
If you say you're canceling the sport, what you're saying is that it's safer for the players to not be playing football, which is actually exactly 100% opposite. Just because you're not playing sports doesn't mean that you're not going to be exposed to the virus. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to be more exposed because you're not going to be in the structure of sports. Go ahead, but that's an important point to get out there.
Well, but you say that, you know, the fact that if you're going to cancel sports, it's the dumbest thing you ever heard, but that's exactly what we're doing. We started with the March Madness last year.
Which is the only sporting event that's been canceled because was in March.
But look what's going on. I mean, even with some of the hockey programs, college hockey, college basketball, they've been put back. College football, we've canceled some games, a lot of out-of-conference games. We've been doing this to begin with. I don't think you realize that.
I realize that the games that have been scheduled across all the sports, I would venture to guess 90%+ have been played. And if you had told anybody in June that MLB, NBA, major college football, college basketball, and the NFL would be back, and we got 90% of the games in, people would say that that was a massive success. We can't run and hide from this thing forever. These athletes are safer playing than they would be doing literally anything else. They are at more risk by actually playing football than they are from this virus. And I'm sorry I'm mad. I'm so tired of arguing with people over this. If you want to say that you don't want to play or you wouldn't let your son play, I will not argue. But you can't. The safest place kids can be is playing sports. It's a fact. It's indisputable.
The reason I bring it up is because when we do the show together, I also, sometimes I'll have up a website or something. I also put up TweetDeck. I know you know what that is.
That's why you're always accusing me of tweeting all the time. Yeah.
Well, I see all the tweets that come in, and it's like a slot machine. And of course it was going to come in today with the cancellation of Baltimore-Pittsburgh a couple days, yesterday, and now the Illinois-Ohio State game. You know it was just going to be maddening out there. Did you think that people weren't going to make a big deal about this, Torres? Did you think that people were just going to go, oh, well, a couple more games, just kind of wipe our hands clear and just keep on moving? You knew there were going to be, as Clay Travis put it, the Corona bros out there waiting for something like this. So, look, I'm for continuing, and I want to continue. I'm just saying there's a lot of people out there now.
Name me one smart person that has suggested that we should not be playing sports right now or that it is unsafe to play sports right now, that we should cancel season, because I haven't seen that person.
Okay, when I get on Twitter, I'm going to put out, other than Rob Parker and I, on a few things where we see the same, but we'll see how it plays out. I am concerned, but I do feel like we should push forward, so I'm all for that. I just think that we should maybe make a few changes with college football. I think you disagree with me on that. I'm for the 8 teams. You don't want that many. I want to get more teams in there this year only because it's a golden opportunity to test a few things out. Yeah. We did it in baseball. We added teams. We did it in basketball. We've added one team in the NFL. So I figure college football now is a good chance to test a few things out, you know?
You know, you're a real sicko, Arnie. You literally set up the whole segment of, are we sure we should be playing sports, just to get me mad and then come full circle and say, yeah, you know, I think we should be playing, but I'm just saying. What do you think,
Tor? No. I never said cancel the whole season, but I could understand. I could see people being upset after the latest cancellations. Well, we're getting a lot of them. And you know what? It's not just so much the games that are canceling. It's also the new infections. I don't think you could take that away. I look at the numbers every day, Aaron. Yeah, and they are. They're skyrocketing. And you know that. I know that. Doesn't mean we should shut it down, but people are cognizant that numbers are through the roof, and we can't hide that fact.
I know we got to get to break. I know we're going to have a lot to talk about here in this hour. The last thing that I will say is the point that I made a minute ago, is that you're right. Cases are skyrocketing,
right?
Which is actually a reason that we should push on with sports, because the safest place these kids can be is playing sports where they're getting tested multiple times a week. And if they don't play sports, it doesn't mean that they're not going to be exposed to the virus. As I said, if anything, it's the opposite. It's more likely they get exposed.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
As we head into week 12, I know this. The Raiders are 6-4. They go on the road at Atlanta. This is a team they're favored over. They're better over. They should win. Tough loss against Kansas City. I know if the Raiders don't win this game, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. They're going to start falling too far behind. Raiders got to win. They got to win games like this, even though they're on the road, to show that they deserve to be in the playoffs. Because you can't lose to a team that's 3-7. I don't care if it's on the road or not. There's nobody at the games anyway, so you can't use that as an excuse anymore. Raiders have to win this game to get a playoff spot.
No, Raiders have to win this game, and the Raiders will win this game. I've said it for weeks now, Arnie, is I think they're the most underappreciated team. I'm not saying they're underrated, not saying they're not good. But you beat KC, you beat New Orleans, you're better than people realize. They don't get any respect. I think they do go to Atlanta. I think they do win this weekend. Heading into week 12, Arnie, I know this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know it, but I think I know it. I think you might have been right on Tua, Arnie. Week one, you were buying all the Tua stock on our Saturday Night Radio show.
Yes, I was.
Week two, you were faking a
sell.
Yeah, you were at the bar trying to sneak out without paying the bill and trying to.
No, I left a couple $100 to the waiter and said, tell him I had an emergency. I won't be back, but go ahead.
Yeah, listen, I don't. First of all, I'm of the belief, and I know we've heard differing opinions about this through the week. I think once you ride with Tua, you got to ride with him. But it's not as though Brian Flores did not have a reason to make the decision that he did last week going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick. You really look at Tua's four starts, one really good start. The defense helped him out against the Rams, the Chargers, that he got the win, but he wasn't crazy effective, and then the Denver disaster on Sunday. You might have been right to have some concerns about this guy, Arnie.
What about the injury he's got? He's got a boo-boo on his thumb. Well, he's got a bad thumb. I don't know. That's what the reports were saying. They listed him as questionable. Do you still put him out there or what?
I mean, if he's not healthy, you don't put him out there. But the way that Brian Flores and Ryan Fitzpatrick were talking over the week, Ryan Fitzpatrick saying it's his job, I don't get the sense that, it's anything major. So.
I'll tell you what. Heading in the week 12, I know this. If the Jets beat the Dolphins, I quit. How about that?
Really? You promise?
I can't have that happen. I want to make the playoffs so bad. And we lost to Denver the week before. Can't lose to the Jets, can we? They're one of the worst teams in the history of the NFL.
Can't lose to the Jets.
Now you're hoping we lose to the Jets, don't you?
Who'd be the most mad if you lost to the Jets? Jets fans. They'd be furious.
Oh, because they want to get that number one pick with Trevor Lawrence.
They want to get that number one pick. Go ahead.
Sam Darnold's playing, though.
Sam Darnold. When you can get that floppy-haired, handsome young man, Trevor Lawrence, you shove Sam Darnold out the door and you don't even think twice. Arnie, we're headed into week 12, and I know this. We talked about it last night, but I'm bringing it full circle. Matt Patricia, He could take that number two pencil, shove it where the sun don't shine, Arnie. It's over. Matt Patricia, get him out. Another losing season, a complete disaster. You talk about a team and a just organization just heading in the wrong direction. Never forget, Jim Caldwell, three winning seasons prior to Matt Patricia. Yesterday against the Texans, he gives they give up, 307 yards passing, 11 yards per completion. I thought he was a rocket scientist, Arnie. What happened?
Is that a good job? Is that a good job, the Detroit Lions, or is that a miserable job?
Should I do like the NFL analyst thing? Well, there's only 32 jobs in this profession, Arnie.
Yeah, exactly. So every job's got to be a good job, I take it then.
Yeah, I don't think it's – the thing I'll say, and Chris, who's coming in to be our board op after this show, diehard Lions fan, hosts a podcast, they have a very passionate fan base, and – I don't think you can undersell how much the people of Detroit care. They just want something to be proud of, and it does start at the top. The ownership keeps screwing up. They forced out Jim Caldwell. They bring in this guy, but it's over. I mean, you know, he's had his time. It's come full circle. You got to figure out what the next phase of this franchise looks like.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.